What's happening?
Hello, Travis.
I didn't want to mess up your jam there.
No, it's good. I've been looking forward to hearing that all day.
You had the shoulders going. I could tell.
Yep. Nobody can see that. But so hello to everybody out in the audience. I'm Mike, and this is Travis. So,
and first we have to say, before we get started, hello to our friend Doug Bell. Your care package is on the way. I had to get that out of the way.
Yeah, that's one of the, if you're a loyal listener, we're going to plug you on the air. We're going to shout out to you. So.
Well, we're not going to plug you. We're not going to plug you in that
dangerous.
Way.
That's dangerous language for a gun aficionado like you to use. So no plugging, just shout outs.
So what's happening, man? There's a lot going on since we were last on.
It's like drinking out of a fire hose at this stage. I got a little, like I think I told you earlier or something, I got a little bit of, I'm getting a little bit of election fatigue coming really frankly from both sides. The side I agree with, the side I don't agree with.
I thought you didn't agree with both sides.
Well, I mean, there is one side I agree with more than the other side.
One side you disagree with less, maybe, is a better way to say it.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
But what's up with this, I guess the newest development over the weekend, what's up with this Hunter Biden laptop deal? You following this story?
Yeah, let's see. Here's how I heard the story. Hunter Biden, who lives in California, dropped off his laptop in... What's DE? Is that Delaware?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, dropped off his laptop to a pro-Trump laptop repair place.
What the sign said, you know, laptops for Trump.
Yeah,
or
yeah, and the we and that Trump conspiracy and that laptop. That laptop repair place. Their security camera got wiped somehow, but the owner swears it was Hunter Biden that brought it in, but then turns out he's legally blind. So
who's blind? The owner of
the laptop repair shop.
How's he going to repair the laptop if he's blind?
I know the whole thing's and guess what? This whole story was written by Sean Hannity's producer, who's just a fucking liar like all the rest of them.
So is that why? Because I don't know all the details about this, right. But it is clearly being released now. In an attempt to, you know, have some last minute dirt, I guess, on the Biden campaign. But
I would say so. I mean,
is that story? Because I read also something else that Twitter and Facebook banned the story. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, there's so much stuff that Twitter. Let me think here for a second. Twitter just removed something, some kind of statement from, I don't know, the fake coronavirus doctor that
Anthony
comes
Fauci?
From Fox. No, not him. No, he's the real coronavirus doctor. The fake one, the guy from Fox News that's wiggled his way into the coronavirus task force.
I thought, I don't think Fauci and Trump are the best of friends these days.
Yeah, I think Fauci's had it with the with fuckwad.
So what's, I mean, the this is, you know, Trump's been trying to dig this up for the last however long, many months or a year, that the Bidens are crooked, and then Hunter tried to leverage his dad's position to get him out of trouble and this and that. So you got to tell me more about this blind laptop repairman, but it sounds like an episode of Seinfeld.
I only know what I saw on my let me see here.
But what's supposed to be the big revelation on the hard drive?
Now that part I don't know. Well, nothing, because it's bullshit. There is no big revelation. I'm just trying to see.
What's the allegation?
You know what? Hold on. I might be able to find it here. I don't know. You know, we'll have to dig into that a little bit more. I don't have all that information because really it's nonsense. Let me just clue everybody that's listening in on something. There's nothing with Hunter Biden. Okay? There is nothing. And
is it
everything,
the same nothing like Trump and Russia though?
You know what it is? This is Giuliani who's Trump's own FBI is saying is a mouthpiece for Russian intelligence and is being used. So everything that all this information.
Speaking in code here. Give me the facts. What's doing?
The facts is that Giuliani has been used by Russian intelligence to feed misinformation to the Trump administration. And they've been highly successful. And it starts out all the way back with all the shit that got Trump impeached.
Does Giuliani have the laptop, the physical laptop?
I don't know if that there even is a physical laptop. Okay.
I thought he is in possession of it.
The whole story is nonsense.
So, I mean, literally there's no laptop. There's no blind repairman. There's no smoking gun.
There may be a blind repairman. I don't know. I don't know too much about that story.
I think the blind repairman is the Apple technician that fixed my last laptop that went in for service. The genius.
Yeah. Did you get it back yet?
Yeah, I got it back, but I had to, you know, they replaced, I think, the hard drive or the motherboard or whatever it's called, and I had to start over and rebuild the thing, but it was all done under warranty. Thank you, Apple.
Hey, Apple. So, you know, I don't know if this is something that we can talk about, either one of us, super intelligently, but antitrust is coming. I think it's coming no matter who wins the and my guess is you don't like antitrust.
What do you mean?
But
antitrust laws?
Antitrust laws are coming. I mean, antitrust investigations, hearings are coming for all of the tech giants. Well,
why can we not intelligently speak to it? I mean, we've tried to price fix in the past.
I'm not in it. Huh?
We've tried to price fix in the past.
Well, let me just speak for myself. You may be a bastion of information on this, but I have been listening to a little bit about it. And I mean, obviously with a Biden-Harris administration, the tech companies are not going to have the free reign, a complete lack of scrutiny that they've had so far with the Trump administration. And also I believe that Biden has actually laid out that antitrust will be one of the things that they'll pursue. So you notice all of a sudden, dick suckers like the guy from Facebook, right? All of a sudden he's like, oh, we're going to start. We're going to take QAnon off of Facebook, you know, finally, after all this time, because they know that as they see things shifting for the Democrats and the likelihood of Trump winning becoming fainter and fainter, they're getting nervous. So.
I thought you're talking about Zuckerberg. I thought he's in the Biden campaign corner.
No, he's been sucking up to Trump for quite a while.
Is this part of the break up the big tech conversation? They want to break
antitrust. Yeah, all of them, right? Bezos, just all of them. It's Apple. It's Microsoft. It's Amazon. It's Facebook and all the associated social media platforms. Twitter.
Are you in favor of this, or are you just saying this is part of the conversation?
Yeah, I don't have strong feelings. I think that my current viewpoint or opinion about the social media sites, at least, are that they have been, I mean, and this is putting it mildly, disingenuous about, you know, I mean, they all got caught, especially Facebook got caught testifying that, hey, we're not trying to suppress our, you know, our competition or any of this kind of stuff. And then I think they got caught with a whole bunch of emails and stuff where they were quoted saying how they were absolutely doing that. They were absolutely conspiring to crush their competition.
Who doesn't do that, though? Isn't that how business works?
You know, you can do it, but a couple of things. One, you have to be a little less stupid about it than
you got to cover your
Zuckerberg
tracks.
He's a brilliant. You don't get caught. I mean, that's the main thing.
Would you call him a dick sucker?
Dribbler? Dick sucker. Yeah. He's been sucking Trump's dick for for quite a while, but that table's turning, right? So, you know, sucking Trump's dick's not going to get him anything once he's out and on his way to prison or whatever. I don't want to get you started on.
Hey, he's not going to go to prison. I think he's going to leave the country. Isn't that what he's saying? If he loses, promises, he's going to have to leave the country. Yeah.
promises.
If he loses, I think, you know, all these celebrities 4 years ago that said if Trump wins, they're going to leave the country and go to Canada. It was all horse shit. Not coming back. None of them even left because it was all bullshit. Nobody thought Trump was going to win. However, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that Trump will leave the country to avoid shackles, maybe.
Yeah, because there are so look, he can I guess, and I think I'm sure we're gonna touch on this a little later. He's probably going to self-pardon himself or whatever, give himself some kind of blanket pardon. When things really look like they're going south, he's just going to give himself a big ass pardon. And that might work. I don't know.
Here's what the plan is. What he's going to do, he's got, that's why he has big tech in his corner, because the mainstream media is going to try to say that he lost the election and that he's going to be arrested. And then mainstream or the social media guys are just going to censor that and say, no, he wasn't. He's free to live and he's free to serve in the White House another 4 years.
What, right till they arrest him?
Maybe.
The new Justice Department. I mean, we got to get the big fat turd Bill Barr out of, you know, out of there. That's the first thing. He's the most corrupt attorney general I've ever seen. And
you know,
corrupt is your favorite word.
Just because everybody in the Trump campaign, just because you keep repeating it doesn't mean it's true.
Well, I learned that from Trump. So
does he repeat it? No, it's it's deny. You're supposed to deny the allegations.
Well, if there's another word you want me to use besides corrupt, criminal, racketeering. I mean, there's so many.
Used the word corrupt. Are we saying there's no corruption on the Biden thing? Is that a fake non-existent story?
Not saying that, but I mean, you know, what there isn't on the Biden side is any case of corruption you could actually point out. So
let's just say hypothetically then, this is the argument that I understand, maybe I'm wrong, is that Hunter Biden was trying to leverage, hang on, I'm asking you hypothetically.
Okay, Biden's not running for president,
I know,
way,
but
just
if,
so you know.
Yes, I understand that. But if he, what's the argument that he said, give me $10 million and I'll set up a meeting with my dad who will, I don't know what he's going to do.
You know, I honestly have not heard it. So you lay out whatever hypothetical platform you want for Hunter Biden. You can
Is there any culpability whatsoever for Joe Biden if he somehow agreed to meet with these guys?
If Joe agreed to meet with somebody?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, agreed to meet? Did they meet? I don't know anything about it, and I unfortunately.
Well, that's the trumping you. Deny. I'm just saying. Listen, for the most part,
I do not recall.
For the most part,
here's the thing. I as a potential SCOTUS nominee myself.
Yes.
Once the new Hunter Biden administration hears this podcast and realizes what a supporter I really am. I feel it would be inappropriate for me to actually venture any opinion on any fucking thing ever at all.
Are you throwing your hat in the ring to be a part of the Supreme Court stacking?
I want to be on that committee.
Where do you want to be the 15th justice?
I don't know. Well, let's just start with 12. No, 11, right? Let's go to 11.
Other than the plagiarism. You know, Biden's been kind of squeaky clean, but if there is a connection with him in this,
you mean the plagiarism where he wants people to wear masks, do more testing, and try to save people's lives? That Pence, you know, so oddly during the debate says, that sounds like plagiarism, which is something, Joe knows something about. Make an allegation or what?
His delivery on that was very creepy, very preachery.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to accuse you of defending Pence. That would be insulting, unless you are defending Pence. But
I thought that was a good dig, something he tried to drum up from the past. But can you answer this question for me? We dance around this on almost every episode, but I still don't understand, and I don't know if this is what you believe, but maybe you can interpret what your party is saying. I don't understand the argument that Donald Trump has killed 215,000 Americans because of his poor response to the coronavirus and what they can – I don't understand what they're going to do about it that's different. I really don't get it.
I don't know. Why don't you ask your best friend Newt Gingrich?
Why? What's he saying?
You're the one that sent me the Newt Gingrich manifesto.
Is that on the lockdown thing?
Well, that was where he's like, Trump has saved 2.5 million lives.
Yeah. Oh, that was the one about the early shutdown from China, travel from China, and everyone called him a racist. And he's a hero because he saved. Yeah, I think that was the one I sent you.
Yeah, he's a hero. I mean, you know, if you want to. Somehow you got to white out Newt Gingrich's name from anything you want me to say.
No, what it is because sometimes when I send you shit that's a very long read, I know you don't make it through it. It's a test to see that you're paying attention.
You know, I always read the stuff you send me. So the Zero Hedge stuff, even though that's some right wing conspiracy hegemony from, you know, another time, I still read it. I mean, the guy writing it, it's not even his real name, folks. Go check it out. What's his name? Ricky Dickham? Ricky Durden?
Tyler Durden.
Tyler Durden. It's from, that is a character. So? That is the name of a character from Fight Club. It's not even real.
What's the problem?
Listen, at least when I make outlandish claims, I got my name put on it. I don't call myself Ricky Turnbutt.
Not always. Whatever. We're doing this show and your name's really not Michael.
Well, it is now that you put it on the website. By the way, there's a website, everybody.
So yeah, I forgot to mention that in the plugs. Couchfuneral.com, officially up and responsible for your mental health.
Yeah. So what
Well, hang on. Because this is
I'm not answering that question.
I like to bring stuff up that is certainly part of the talking points of what the campaigns are saying. And there's another figure being thrown around by the Biden campaign that, you know, with Trump in office, there's going to be another 200 and some odd thousand dead Americans because of his lack of leadership in response to the pandemic. And so this goes back to what I was asking. Do you know, because I don't know, what the Democrats are actually saying that they can do that's going to save these lives that's any different than what's happening now? I mean, California, we can get into that, is a fucking disaster and all their COVID rules. Did you see that?
Not really following California stuff that closely. That's more your I know you constantly stalk Governor Newsom, so I can't.
Well, you got to pay attention to your enemies.
Yeah. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I figured we were going to talk about this. So I guess my serious response to that.
I don't want you to be serious now. Come on. Don't bring the show down.
That's my job, isn't it? Just be the big bummer of the summer. So Trump has, you know, he bears responsibility for making things much worse. We'll never know how much worse. I don't know what the official projection is from Democrats, and I really couldn't care less. The only projections that I'm interested in hearing about are from actual doctors that have, you know, bona fide credentials to speak to this. And I will say that this Dr. Atlas fuck came off Fox News and is now on the coronavirus task force, this fucking asshole is not qualified to speak to this. So, I mean, that right there is just another part of what the problem is. But listen, I think I can wrap this up in a couple sentences.
There I go.
From the very beginning, Trump has issued so much misinformation and destroyed the credibility and has lost the moral high ground that and conflicting information and his constant degradation of actual experts in the field that we should be listening to has caused this to be much worse and go on much longer than it probably needed to. I can't prove things that are never going to come to pass. We're never going to know. And let's just get this straight. I'm not professing that either Biden or Kamala have the all the answers to COVID. Here's my position, right? Trump is the virus, and Biden and Kamala are the vaccine.
Well, yeah, they're the failed vaccine that didn't work, and we got to pull the plug because somebody got sick during the trials.
I thought that was pretty good. I just made that up right now.
That was pretty good. Yeah. We'll put that on the website. We'll give you credit for that one. But, I mean, is the whole argument that what? Because Trump downplayed it from the beginning and said that it's not that big of a deal that somehow what? That he killed all these people? I mean, I guess, I don't know. I just think there's so much that has changed since this whole first thing came out. But there's no vaccine, right? Seriously, Biden and Harris,
no vaccine.
They're not the vaccine as much as you would like them to be.
Well, they are the vaccine for the real
virus.
Look, COVID is COVID, right? And I don't even care about that as a topic, as much as you'd like to back me into a corner on it.
I know I asked you the question, and, do you know what they're saying? Because I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't. And, it, you know, here's the thing.
How is that even a talking point?
The country as a whole, except for Trump's tiny little base, right? they blame him for it. And that's why he's losing the election. Well,
Number one, he hasn't lost
the election. I can only tell you what the numbers say.
Number one, right? He hasn't lost the election. And
have you listened to him?
No.
Did you hear?
We talked about these polls. It doesn't mean shit. We don't know.
Have you listened to Trump?
No, I try not to listen to Trump. Why are you listening to Trump?
Well, you should listen to him. At his most current rallies, he's like, well, you just quoted him a little bit ago. Hey, I'm going to have to move out. You know, if I lose this election to Joe Biden, the worst politician on the planet, I might have to move to Canada. You think if he thought he was winning that he'd be talking about that shit?
That's typical Trump. He does that shit to get the base all fired up.
Listen, if he would stop talking about COVID, if he would stop with the masks are a waste of time. On the television show last week, where Savannah Guthrie ripped him a new asshole right in the town hall thing, he came out and said as a fact that 85% of people that have contracted coronavirus wore masks, and that is a fucking lie. It's not. There's no truth to it. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't stop him from saying it. So it's that kind of thing, right? It's that kind of thing. It's the nonsense with this Dr. Atlas. You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't know who Dr. Atlas is.
Okay. Well, you, I think everybody listening is going to know pretty quick. So this is the guy because he's a Trump dick sucker. So he says whatever. Well, since he's an anesthesiologist and not an epidemiologist and not a rapist, like an artist, like we talked about before.
Raper. I thought we clarified he was a raper, not a rapist.
Yeah. So he wanted a place on the coronavirus task force, and he's got it because he says whatever he thinks Trump wants to hear. He is actually advocating for herd immunity, right?
Yeah. And Trump I read quite a bit about that, and there's certainly more and more science that is saying that with this particular virus, there's
no herd immunity.
Yeah, I don't know that you could. I don't know that it's not impossible, but the numbers that we have are too low to really get there, and it would take, I don't know how much more of a spread to.
Right, and to get to the numbers of people infected with COVID that would allow for this theoretical herd immunity, which cannot be achieved with this disease, you're talking about a minimum of about 2.5 million more people dying. The numbers of people the amount of people that would have to contract COVID-19 to achieve this theoretical herd immunity, which you can't achieve, 2.5 million more people would die.
Well, why would they?
It's that erroneous. This herd immunity thing is an erroneous, debunked medical theory. Nobody has ever used a herd immunity as a plan for a pandemic or an epidemic.
Okay, so now we're kind of getting somewhere because there's a lot I could pick apart in what you said, but that's,
it's all true though.
No, of course, there are some facts in there, but there's certainly a lot of what you've said where A plus B doesn't equal C. So what I just want to know, though, is...
I'm a doctor.
Well, you're an amateur gynecologist.
Well, no, don't say
that. Okay. Listen,
go, move ahead. Move
stay
on.
Stay with me here. I don't understand. Let's say that just what you said, Trump is saying, hey, folks, don't wear a mask. Don't trust this doctor. Just get out there and... get the herd immunity.
Open it up.
Okay, right. And I understand that. I mean, I think his sole motivation is the economy. And so what are the Democrats saying that they're going to do differently? And that's what I worry about because, there's no vaccine. They can't do anything physically. And this is my argument about government in general, is government's power is very, very limited. So what can they actually physically do if and when they get into office to save more lives than are being saved now. Nothing. I mean,
I don't know.
I was going to bring this up too. The freaking nonsense that we have in California. I printed this out. California, the disaster shithole place that we live in, because we've got a dictator as a governor, and he's come out on his own with his executive orders. You know, he's, I think, just as abusive with executive orders as Trump is.
Without
laying his new, you know, COVID standards. And so, I mean, there's stuff that came out just in the last couple of days. You can now have no more than three households gather at one time. Anything more than that is prohibited. The government is now more intrusive and more in our private lives to tell us who we can and can't gather with. That's ridiculous. I mean, this is three pages. I'm not going to go through it all, but
Because
gatherings have to be outside.
I'm not for or against. I don't know anything about what he said, and I'm not in agreement with the California governor or the California government. And I don't think that, honestly, Travis, I don't believe, as much as you're going to hate this and this isn't going to be good for the show, I don't believe that COVID-19 is or should be a political issue. I don't think that the Biden-Harris ticket have any brilliant ideas about what to do about COVID, except continue to treat it as a worldwide pandemic, which it is, that we're in the middle of. And I'm not claiming they have the answers. And again,
but they are.
But I don't care.
But okay, here's why it's important. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, because that's what this show is about, is common sense, which you've displayed there. So thank you.
Thank you.
But here we have Kamala Harris, who probably has the greatest chance of any vice presidential candidate of actually becoming the president in the first term than any other that we've had in the past. Mm. She's from California. She has the same backwards thinking that our governor does. And when you look at some of the plans that you know they've laid out that is supposed to keep us all safe, that's the shit that I worry about. And to the point about making it you know, part of their campaign, they are. Every fucking day they're all over Twitter posting shit. This president has killed 215,000 people because of his lack of leadership, and that can't stand, and we're going to do better. Well, is this what you're going to do?
That is a common opinion among a great deal of Americans.
What?
What you just said.
I disagree.
Whether it's true or not, many people blame Trump for the ongoing we're on the way back up, right? Where the numbers are going the wrong way.
And why is that?
Because
we're living freely.
Whatever the reason is, it's his.
So no, it's not. And here's the point that everybody must understand.
He is the president.
No, so what?
So it's his watch. He's responsible. That's where the buck stops.
Here's what you're missing. Here's the point.
I'm not missing anything.
You are. The only thing that can be done is to say, okay, folks, the numbers are going up. Now go back home. Lock yourselves in your room and don't come out. And that...
No, you know, that's not true. I'm not going to let that stand, okay?
How is it not true?
Because the difference is not... That's not the only thing.
What's the only... What can we do?
The bullshit coming out of Trump's mouth on a daily basis...
Forget
the anti-mask stuff. All of that stuff is. Hey, get things opened up. Have these rallies. Do these big mass spreader events.
Okay, Mike.
Do all this shit. That's all wrong.
Let's say that today is January 19th or 20th or whenever the changeover in power is supposed to be, and the same thing is happening where the numbers are going up. Now, Biden and Harris.
It's too late now, dude. No, it's a wildfire that has spread across the entire country. You know, in January, it was pretty localized, right? You had some stuff going on in New York and New Jersey and that area. And I guess California has always been a little worse than we even thought it was. And that has to do with travel and stuff because, you know, before he did correctly stop travel from China, although I don't know if just from that one place really did any
good.
That
was very difficult for you to say that. I can see it in your face.
Okay. It's okay. I don't have a problem with it. I hate the fact but here's the thing. I hate the fact that they want to use that. Like, hey, I don't know what Joe Biden said about that when it happened. I'm not even sure he was a candidate at this point.
He said Trump was a racist.
Well, he's a xenophobic, grace baiting piece of shit. There's that.
I think that was his quote. Yes, you did see it.
That though, that's, you know, that was Lindsey Graham's quote from the 2016 primary. He's a race baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. That's the quote from Lindsey Graham about President Trump. Speaking of dick suckers, okay, that's what Lindsey Graham is now. But go ahead, I interrupted. And
no,
I
you're not interrupting. Here's the point is,
man, I'm having a good time today.
You're great, man. You're on a roll. You're on fire. Keep it going. I like this mic much better than Angry Mike.
Yes, thank you.
Nothing but don't worry, I got plenty of stuff to change your mood later.
Let me get my meds.
But you have to differentiate all the shit that you're saying about Trump that is mostly true. You know, listen, I'm a realist. Mm-hmm. Most of it's true, but that doesn't matter, right? And go back to what I was trying to say about, you know, if this was January, which is, you know, the middle of winter for our country and the cases are still spiking, what are they going to do on day one to make those numbers go down? There's still no vaccine. What can they do? Well, you got to be honest. And the only thing that you can do to stop the spread of this virus is to have physical separation between human beings. That's it.
Well, I mean, you know, that may be the case, but here's the point. I am not supporting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Stop right there.
Because I think
don't just say because. Just say I'm not supporting Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Do you want to just record that so you can?
I'm
going to
put that on a loop.
Okay. Let me put it this way. I don't know how to say it. Here's the thing. I don't particularly. It's not. I thought I said it better when I said that Trump is the real disease and they are the real cure.
Yeah, but you're getting lost there. What are they going to do with the cure?
And
why you're struggling with the answer?
Not
because there is no fucking answer.
Well, but I don't. Here's the thing. So, I feel like I'm yelling into the microphone. So tell me if I'm good. Look at my levels. Are they blowing up here?
No, you're good. Right.
I don't think they're going to be that much better at it. I don't think anybody can.
Now you're speaking truth.
I know for a fact, though, that they won't. Every word out of their fucking mouth won't be a lie. About it.
Well, here's really the question that I honestly asked you because I want to know because I haven't heard it. What is their plan? And they are the ones, and maybe we don't, you know, maybe we've beat that horse to death, but they are making that a talking point every fucking day. I mean,
it's a winner.
But it's not. And maybe to some people it is. To some people like you who just want to hear anything that is a solution that's not Trump, they'll take any other option, which I understand.
And I don't care about a solution for COVID. Okay, so it is Biden and Harris. I'm not looking for them to have a better idea.
But don't you
COVID.
Want them to speak the truth? Because the reality is that we talk a lot on this show about all the lies that Trump spews and the corruption. And I think that the other side is certainly not immune to that. And again, they have been posting a lot of shit on Twitter. The other talking point, which I think is just a lie, is the fact that the Supreme Court nomination process and hearing this last week was an illegitimate process. That's a lie. That statement is a lie. And the Democrats are saying that as if it's truth. So the point is, why can't we call out the lies when we see them?
Call them out.
And with the COVID
shit. What lie is it you're calling out?
What I'm calling out is, I think a lot of people in this country are single issue voters, whatever the hot topic is that resonates with them and their household. And there's an endless amount of those these days. And if somebody happens to latch on to the COVID thing, the Democrats are saying, hey, here's something for you to chew on. There's 200,000 plus dead
Americans.
Yeah,
we're
going
to do it better.
Yeah, that's a lie, right? Because you can't. There's nothing to do until there's a vaccine.
Well, you can't prove that, buddy. And,
we can prove it.
And
we just established that there's no vaccine.
No.
We just established that you have crazy dictator governors like in California who think that what they can do is keep us all apart from one another and, you know, have backyard barbecues where you got to take potty breaks every 15 minutes to break up the spread. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I'm so sorry that you feel so angry about the California governor. I don't blame you. I mean, I think, you know, coming from the place where we come from, we both hate Newsom, right? And I think neither of us like Brown, but isn't it funny how I would almost give, you know, I would almost give my right teeth just to have Brown back. Like, wow, he was the grown-up. This seemed kind of
normal. Well, I said the same thing about Obama. I watched something cool over the weekend that I had never seen before. Speaking of, you know, we're the couch funeral show, but I guess Obama did something these last couple of days in office. It was the couch something. I forget what he called it, but it was like a 5-minute clip of him trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life after he leaves the office. And it starts off, I never saw it back then. I just came across it. I thought it was pretty funny. And he's starts off, he's like laying on the couch, like in the therapist's office, you know, with his feet up, trying to contemplate his life. And Biden is sitting there at the table with like 30 pairs of aviators, and he's polishing all of his glasses. And, you know, he's trying to tell Obama what he can do. He's like, well, you know, you're going to be a citizen. You need to get your driver's license. So you got to do that. So then it cuts to Obama going to the DMV, and then they say, all right, well, it looks like you're going to need a birth certificate. Do you have that? And he pulls that out, and they're like, is this real? You know, it was a whole thing, you know. And then he watches a movie
He has a decent sense of humor.
He does. So, and, you know, you miss that stuff because here was a guy that he was a young guy. He was charismatic, and he looked the part. He acted the part. I mean, I didn't agree with most of his politics, but you know, when you bring up a guy like Jerry Brown in California, it just, these last 4 years have been insanely crazy and chaotic with the puppet show that's been going on. You know, that.
Which one are you talking about now? California or?
Well, no. In the White House. It is just crazy. And
hey, since we're making recommendations, I'm going to recommend something that I also saw over the weekend. And it's a documentary on HBO called The Way I See It. And it's from Pete Sousa, who was the official White House photographer during the whole 8 years. He was also the official White House photographer during the Reagan administration. He was actually a Republican, conservative kind of guy, which explains how he ended up in the Reagan White House. And then kind of came, you know, he got this job because he's one of the great photographers like this. He really knows how to, you know, he's got good judgment. He knows how to blend into the background, disappear. And he has now been, because he's so sickened by what he sees Trump doing over the last 4 years, he's a huge Instagram, you know, success. He's posting his great photos are on his Instagram account. And there's a book, there's a big coffee table book, and this documentary. Anybody that never heard of this guy, Pete Sousa, I would highly recommend that you check out his photographs. If you're a photographer at all, you're going to like the photographs. And it's pretty political too, because he's certainly not nonpartisan anymore.
Did you say that? What's the time range of the photographs? Did you say it was just
all 8 years? He had unfettered access. He went everywhere with Obama. I mean, he had complete access to everything. And how you get that when you're that kind of photographer is by having good judgment, you know, not sticking your nose, not trying to get a picture of, you know,
potty breaks.
Or the press trying to poke Michelle or anything like that. Right. So, but great, great pictures. You know, he's got a lot of famous ones. He took the picture of everybody in the Situation Room when they were going after Obama.
Yeah.
Osama. Right. And the little black kid in the Oval Office that asked the president if he could touch his hair, and he bent down and let the little kid touch his hair because they had the same haircut. Hey, my friends all tell me we have the same haircut. That's a 1 second chance to get that shot, and Pete Sousa got it. So anyway, it was great.
Where do you get this? Netflix?
That was like looking at a great photo album for me of good times.
But you watched the documentary of this guy?
Yeah, it's well worth watching no matter what side of the thing you're on. It's called The Way I See It. And is it's it all on over HBO?
Oh, HBO.
Okay. HBO, yeah.
Is HBO part of the big tech that's going to be broken up by your people?
Did we already talk about that?
Yeah.
I guess we started to, huh? Antitrust is coming. I think that the big tech firms and you know, part of the reason why this is happening right now for them is that they've all done pretty good while the Democratic governors, I guess, fucked up the COVID response, or whatever you think the cause is. They've done great, no matter whose fault it is. And I think that always brings down the ire of regulators and people as well. So, I mean, right now, Bezos came out last week and said that, he fully predicts that Amazon will at some point BK and break up, that somebody will, there will force be a him disrupt. To do it. Well, there'll be a disrupt. No, not from the government. He just thinks that even without antitrust, there'll be a disruptor. You know, somebody will be a disruptor, some other business or something.
Well, that, and then, of course, I believe that goes with what I always say about the way capitalism is supposed to work. Government should get out of the way.
You should
and
like that.
When we start talking about, you know, taxing businesses and taxing the wealthy, and they need to do their fair share, and they must, you know, the government's going to decide what these people need to do. Well, that's not a guarantee these people are going to be around forever. And the fact that they're doing well during this pandemic is because their role in the process, people want what they have, and that is not always guaranteed.
I don't begrudge them making the money. I mean, Bezos is pulling $1 billion a year out of Amazon, and
good for him.
I don't know how many years does he have to do that to be set to go on to the next project. So you can say, hey, guess what? Liberal Democrats in power, tear my company to shreds. I don't give a fuck. I've got $5 billion in another company already. So I don't think you can hurt Jeff Bezos. He's got two more. What is that his name? Jeff Bezos? I don't know.
Bezos.
You can't hurt him, right? He's got too much money now. You can't.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that angers me. You know, I get it that the gap and the divide between the haves and the have-nots is greater than it's ever been. But, I mean, there's really only two ways to equalize things, right? You know, bring the top down or bring the bottom up, and that's how you get to the middle. So I'm never in favor of taking from
the
people.
Bringing the top down?
Yeah, that's just backwards thinking to me.
Well, you know, I guess, I mean, that would be a very viable, I think that bringing the bottom up would be a viable option. But it's not the Republicans. And listen, don't be defensive. You're not a Republican. It's not the Republicans. They don't want to bring the bottom up. I don't know what they want anymore. I think that the Republican Party is pretty much destroyed. So if you're an independent, or whatever your options are, libertarian or some combination, hybrid.
Yeah, you know who's an independent? Me and Bernie. And we don't see eye to eye on anything.
You know, Bernie was always an independent. You know, I've been listening to him. He used to have a radio address on back when there were like some right wing talk radio shows and there were some left wing talk radio shows.
Back in the 30s when there was only radio and no TV, we had Bernie.
I used to have to crank that little crank on the side of my radio to make electricity. You know, Bernie, I've been listening to him for, I don't know, 20 years, I think. And he used to be every Saturday. So, you know, it was kind of a thing. I would listen to him. And I always thought he, you know, pretty distinctive voice, right? That guy, nobody really talks like him except the guy from Seinfeld.
Larry David's impression of George Steinbrenner. Exactly.
Yeah. So
I can't get that out of my head every time I hear him.
So, he was always an independent. And so, you know, I never considered him a viable presidential candidate. And that turns out I was right. But, you know, how he became a Democrat or something for a couple of general election runs is a little beyond me, but he's always been an independent.
Well, he went where he was accepted. You know, they were going to take him. If you remember, at one point, Trump wasn't a Republican. And I think they asked him, you know, some of the early debates, are you willing to say that you will support the Republican Party even if you don't get the full nomination? And like everything, he's not going to commit to it, but
I remember that
they'll go wherever they'll be accepted.
So, I know you got kind of so. Well, let me ask you a quick.
Yes,
go ahead.
Sir.
Go ahead.
No, go.
No,
for
no.
It.
I know you've been planning this for.
I've been planning nothing. It's all a facade. But I did do something that I said I was going to get ready for this show from the last one.
Okay.
I went through the California propositions, and because I made it, for the record, there's actually 12 of them because they don't. They're not numbered from like one to whatever. There's 12 of them. We established that you would vote no on all of them.
That would be, I haven't looked at them yet, but that would be my plan.
So of the 12, can you guess how many I voted yes on?
Oh, Four.
Not far off. Only two.
Yeah. Only two.
Only Let's two.
I don't know them well enough. Let me ask you about the ones I do know. How about, is it 23 that's going to kill all the dialysis patients?
I think so, because that's not one of the ones I voted yes on. So I put a no on that one.
So you're voting no. So you want to save the dialysis. That's 80,000.
Wait. Is saying no is saving them? Shit, I got to change that.
I don't know. I don't know. I thought that...
I said no on something to do with number 20, which is restricts parole rights for violent crime or something.
Okay. Let's see. 20. Well, there's 21. How does this thing work? Okay. Restricts parole for certain offenses currently considered to be nonviolent. Oh, well, it's a no for me because it's
on the ballot. It's a no.
Yeah, it's a no. So are you voting yes on that?
Yes.
I mean, I will tell you this. Because I respect you so much, Travis, whatever you're voting yes on, I'll take a second look at and consider it. Because everything else is no.
Listen, yeah, there's only two. Everything is no for me. That one, number 20, I said yes.
Okay.
And there was a couple to do with crime, and there was another one about restoring voting rights. I'm not sure if this is that one. But the only other one I voted yes on was the rideshare thing, which we've mentioned, the Uber deal. I am in favor of them being able to decide if they want to remain independent contractors. So that's a yes for me. That's 22. Those are the only two.
So let's see. 22. Here it is. App-based transportation. Okay. So you're going to vote yes on that and yes on 20. Restricts parole for certain offenses. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's two. What about 17?
That's a no for me.
That's restore the rights or some horseshit.
Yeah, if I remember that one, a yes would restore the rights of convicted felons who have been released on parole. It would restore the right to vote. But my understanding of the way that it's written is, and my understanding of the law is that your parole is part of your sentencing. So you've got to, sometimes your sentencing is no incarceration time. It's just parole. So your sentence might be 6 months parole, right? You never did jail time. So you got to complete that. That is the sentence. So the way I read it is you got to complete that sentencing before you should have your rights to vote reinstated. So that's a no for me.
I think as a general matter, not California specific, but on a nationwide basis and Florida specifically, I think that once you have the bigger issue has been felonies, right?
Yeah.
Felons getting their, once they've completed their jail term and everything else that goes with it, they get the right to vote back. I'm generally in favor of that. I'm not in favor of that through the initiative process, but any state government that wants to put that place, and I don't have a huge problem. I think the way it was handled in Florida was a little bit underhanded, but that's Florida. So everything in Florida is a fucked up mess. So I'm sorry. I know that's your future home state, but
home away from home.
Home away from home. But
as long as it never turns blue, I'll go.
It'll be blue already.
But I agree with you. I'm in favor. Hey,
did you see the guy we met from Texas? Who may be a listener of this now? So I'm going to not mention his name, Jason. he almost had a stroke when I told him that Texas was probably turning blue, but the truth of it is, it probably is. So, because things are changing.
Yeah, they are changing, and that pisses me off too. When you have people that leave places like California that are just completely insane, leftist nonsense, backwards thinking, you escape a place like this because you're being suffocated and you want to have some freedom in your life and take a deep breath, and you go to a place like Texas, and what do? You bring all of your fucking backwards thinking with you. Leave it alone. Go there because it was different. Don't try to change it. God damn it.
That is certainly one way to look at it. It could be that typically people's thinking is starting to straighten up about a bunch of things, and, you know, and it's changing. I mean, this whole thing about blue and red states is just not really based, it doesn't have a great foundation. I mean, at any given moment, you know, in our business, we talk a little about a moment in time. At a moment in time, every state is something, right? But, you know, hey, at this moment in time, boom, X amount of states are red, X amount of states are blue. Some of them are kind of in the middle. It's going to change. It's
well, you know what? You know what my personal belief is? The one, we talk a lot about how we disagree as a country on almost every single issue, but I think the one thing that really gets people motivated and activated is freedom. And if they feel like their freedoms are infringed, I think that's the one thing that we all have in common and that we would all fight for. So if it's the freedom to have birth control in your home, if it's the freedom to be able to have an abortion, if it's the freedom to continue to own your guns, I think when you talk about freedoms, if it's the freedoms to go out and socialize with whomever you want and not be told by your government that, you know, they're going to decide if you get sick this year, it's the freedoms that I think people really, that's the thing that they're not going to tolerate, that being taken away from them. And those examples of freedom happen to be, they fall on both sides of the red and blue issues, you know? And I think
you're so off base on this thing about anything to do with, you know, COVID is just, I'm amazed, Trav, that somehow you have, I mean, I think maybe this is the issue. You're equating the correct things that we need to do as a society to try to abate this very contagious disease that's brand new, never been seen before, and isn't going anywhere anytime soon. The things we need to do, that we should be doing, that we should have been doing, that we will need to do in the future.
Hey,
you are equating them with freedom.
I'm not. Here's what I'm equating with freedom.
What?
I agree with your statement that you just said, the things that we know we need to do. Well, I've already mentioned this a gazillion times, but the fact that the government stole people's businesses, and then later we decided to add layers such as, remember retail? You couldn't even go into a sporting goods store.
Hang on, let me,
I know you.
I do agree with you.
I understand.
Right, that the government stole the business. I agree with that.
And so we later figured out, hey, why can't we do curbside pickup, or why can't we limit the amount of people that go into the store? And in my example of California, yeah, we know we need to do things to keep people safe, but you know, why is socializing with three other families safe and four is dangerous? That's fucking ridiculous. So that's my point.
Right.
Is there are freedoms involved. And I'm not one of these maniacs about, say, the mask, for example. I agree. Your freedom doesn't involve you going around not wearing a mask, coughing on people. I get that. And I think we all should be wearing masks out in public. I also think people need to take responsibility for their own actions. If you're sick and afraid, stay home. There's a balance there. So I'm not one of these maniacs that's saying COVID is all freedom-based. I just gave you three or four examples of how, you know, particular freedoms that could potentially be taken away from people. The point I was trying to make is that's what gets people activated. They'll come out and they'll protest. They'll come out and they'll vote over the infringement of freedoms. And that's what I believe. And that's what I think you're seeing across this country.
Yeah, we are seeing that. I mean, I think that, you know, we've seen tremendous early voting already. I think the number that I saw earlier today is 26 million people have already voted. That's like,
what was the total last time that voted? Do you know?
I don't know, like six by this point.
No,
this
total
stage of the game, million
when it was all done.
Oh, how many people voted in the last general election?
Yeah.
130 million.
130.
Yeah, that's a number I heard recently. So there are 30 million people that have already voted early, right? Through a combination of different things. There's early voting in states. There's already a lot of, you know, ballots have already been sent in, things like that. So it, at this stage, 4 years ago, it was about 6 million. So that right there shows you how motivated people are to vote. And there's no doubt that all of the early voting and vote by mail stuff tends to be more Democratic than Republican. The sheer number of absentee ballots requested, you can see it. It's a much higher number for Democrats than it was for Republicans. And so, you know, all that tends to say, hey, people are motivated for a variety of reasons. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know. We haven't talked about this in a long time, but you know, 9/11, I was not in favor of going into Iraq, right? And so what a surprise. And, you know, the scope of things, I mean, that turns out to be in the long run a left-right issue. And, you know, there's no sense opening up old cans of worms for whether it was all a lie or there was a real need to go to war. I mean, I think all the reasons that it happened are pretty easy to understand. I personally wanted to see America kick some Middle Eastern ass for 9/11.
Yeah, I saw right through that. I was in favor of Afghanistan, but I saw right through the Iraq thing. That looked like daddy's revenge.
Yeah. So, I think that we were afraid, and we were willing to give up liberties, give up our rights. The Patriot Act never should have happened. And you know, I said it then, hey, you know what? More important than terrorist attacks that haven't happened yet is that we're giving up our liberties without a fight. I mean, things that people died for, we're just turning them over because we're scared or something. I don't know what it was. And I think
now you sound like me.
Well, I've always said that, right? And so my bigger concern has been, you know, the liberties that we're losing. So I think one last thing about the COVID thing, for me, it's not even part of this. I don't care what Biden and Harris are saying about what they can or can't do in regards to COVID-19. I think the important thing that I've heard them say is they're going to listen to the experts and the scientists, and that's all I want to hear. And whatever else they think is a good idea, we'll have to evaluate that as they come. And I don't know that I'm totally down with a national mask order or something like that. I think that's what you're talking about. Or hey, everybody's got to go back underground or something. I don't think anybody, Trump or Biden, can get people to go into a full lockdown.
Well, that's my point.
But here's what you're going to see in the pretty near future. If the numbers keep going up the way they're going up, once state governments see that their emergency rooms and their hospitals and their available beds for COVID patients are looking like they're going to run out because the numbers are going up, they're going to implement those same procedures.
And that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, that it would be just a complete failure on top of the already big failures of these state governors. How many hospitals and hospital beds have they built? I mean, we could beat COVID to death. COVID for me is like the Supreme Court for you. It's the one thing that fucking is guaranteed to boil my blood every time.
Hey, speaking of that, so I think everybody knows where we stand on that stuff, and I think that's a little more rational conversation of the COVID thing. What didn't you want to talk about the SCOTUS?
Yeah, well, no? I mean, obviously it would dominated the news last week. I think, by the way, we're expecting her confirmation to be Thursday. Is that also the same? We have another debate. You know, we talked last week whether or not there'd be more debates. We have a debate this week and a confirmation, right?
Yeah. No, is it Thursday?
I think
probably. I mean, I'm hoping something happens that somehow they don't have it. I don't think they should have it. We all know I have never been in favor of any of these debates so far. Luck has been on my side, and it's been awesome. And I think Trump got his ass handed to him last week. He not only did he have lower ratings, but it may end up with Chuck Todd getting kicked the fuck off NBC, which I would be totally happy if he sucks at what's the name of his show that he took over from the great guy that was so good at it. It's the name of his show. He took over that great weekend show. It's like the longest running news show on television, not Face the Nation, but the NBC version.
It's the Sunday show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the name of it. I don't know. I have more important things to do on my Sunday than watch these
folks.
Fucking
it's
maniacs.
Not just me. It's not just me at 64 that can't remember things. So my very youthful co-host, I can't remember either. So anyway, so what do you think? I don't know if they have another debate, I'd be surprised. But
no, know, they said they're having a debate. I think it's scheduled this week.
And, Thursday?
So
I mean, it's a done deal. I mean, what's Cody Williams, Cody Justice Judge Comey? What's
Wendy Williams? Abrams. What is her name? Amy Barrett.
Mrs. Gorsuch. I don't know. She's going to be confirmed. So that's the end of that. Doesn't
so
matter.
Are you okay with that? I mean,
yeah, sure. I'm fine with it.
You want to hear a little of her?
Yeah. Yes,
I mean, we're
yes,
trying to
please.
Get to know her a little bit.
Any of these modern notions are
this. I'm just going to warn you. We can go through as much of this or as little of this as you want.
Okay.
This particular clip is a long one. I think they're asking her about, this is a, the way I understood it, on top of the, you know, the, whether or not this is a legitimate process, which is the argument from the Democrats, there's two big hot buttons that they're saying they're putting her on. They're rushing this process because she's going to overturn Roe v. Wade because she's a conservative justice, and what's the other one? Affordable Care Act. Those are the two. So this question... Well,
Why is that the reason? Do they deal with the actual reason? Because neither of those two things are really relevant. It's getting her confirmed and on the court by the time Trump takes his completely invalid constitutional challenges to this election to the Supreme Court.
They ask her that too, but
she doesn't answer.
Right? Yeah, I think that's pretty much established with the last several appointees. But anyway, this one's on the birth control stuff.
Rooted in a landmark case decided in 1965, Griswold versus Connecticut, where the Supreme Court held married couples have the right to use contraceptives in the privacy of their own home. In an interview just 8 years ago in 2012 on Fox News, Justice Scalia said this decision was wrong. Wow. Because under his originalist philosophy...
And they always make a comparison to Scalia because she quotes him a lot, she clerked for him... I think
she was doing him. That's why. That's well known. That's in the Democratic
talking points.
There's no such thing as a general right to privacy in the Constitution. This is a question most currently serving justices have answered. When we spoke on the phone last week, you said you couldn't think of any specific issue of law where you disagreed with Justice Scalia. Do you agree with him that Griswold was wrongly decided? And thus states should be able to make it illegal to use contraceptives if they so chose.
Well, Senator, as I've said a number of times, I can't express a view, yes or no, A plus or F. In my other capacity, I get to grade, but not in this particular capacity with respect to precedent. I think that Griswold is very, 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 very unlikely to go anywhere. In order for Griswold to be overruled, you or a state legislature would have to pass a law prohibiting the use of birth control, which seems...
We can go on and on about that one, but...
That seems unlikely. You got any recordings for anything a little more timely? Not Griswold 2000?
Well,
can I use a raincoat in my bedroom?
You know, here's the interesting thing. I think senators from both sides, no matter whatever president is making the appointment, a conservative or a liberal president, and therefore the assumption is the justice they pick is along those same lines, they all fall into the same trap. They always try to get these nominees to speak to prior cases, and none of them do it. I mean, haven't we figured that out? She's not going to give an answer. None of them do.
I think it was Ruth that started that precedent, right?
I think it was.
Yeah, there's a doctrine that she cites over and over again. I don't remember the name of it. She cites it about 100 times throughout the hearings. According to the such and such doctrine, the Scorvino doctrine or some shit, I don't know what it is, and I can't answer that. And so she virtually didn't answer anything. I mean, I've scoured today. I did spend some time because I got a little bit of warning here from you that you might want to talk about this. So I scoured, you know, looking for clips of anything she might have actually answered. I think the last thing she answered in the hearings with any specificity was her fucking name.
Well, okay. There's a couple of things. Again, I think the questioning is a little, it doesn't always serve its intended purpose. In other words, mm-hmm. These senators love to hear themselves talk. They mm-hmm. ask multiple questions before they ask for an answer. So it's like, okay, which way am I going to go here? And then they interrupt. But there was a couple of things I thought that she did answer.
Did she say anything that you found interesting?
Well, I think this question, it was back to your point about whether or not, you know, Trump could pardon himself or whether or not she's being placed on the court to somehow be a part of that. Well, here was her.
Yeah.
And could you also once again restate, is anybody above the law in the United States?
No one is above the law in the United States.
So, I mean, they asked her that question multiple different ways.
Confirmer. Confirmer.
Well, I mean,
that's the answer I'm looking for.
I thought you
grab him by the pussy.
I got to work that in every show.
I know. I was going to say, wow. I didn't even.
What do you expect, though? I mean, you're going to have.
Was that the question?
Don't you think at the end of the day, this whole confirmation process for any of these judges is you got to take their word for it, because what else you got? I mean, what else is she going to say?
Well, I mean, look, I think the whole thing's a waste of time. I mean, she is a far right wing in writing, you know, she's totally, I mean, there's nothing unbiased or what's the right word?
Neutral?
When you ask jury members, or can you be
you know, biased, right?
Yeah. Let's just call it unbiased. Prejudiced? I'm failing on the thing. You know, there's nothing. She's not neutral. She's not none of that shit. She's a far right wing pundit. She's been groomed for this from the very beginning. The biggest two reasons she's here is she's 48 and female, and that's it. You know, she doesn't have a stunning record of jurist accomplishments.
Because you went back and read all of her cases, you know this?
Yes. Yes, I did read all of her cases.
I'm joking, but we did say on one of our last episodes, I really hadn't even heard her when her name first came out. And then but I did go back and watch some speech where she was referencing a prior Supreme Court ruling. That's the only one I know of.
Guess what? She was involved in the Gore Bush mess I mean, there's so many reasons back in Florida, right? And 20 years ago for the Gore Bush hanging Chad mess, she was on the legal team that took the case to the Supreme Court that stole that election from Al Gore for Bush. And it's pretty well commonly agreed upon that probably shouldn't have happened, that wasn't really the right way that should have went. She's part of that legal team, just like fucktard. The last guy that they Gorsuch? Confirmed the raper,
and he's not saying rapper, folks.
Not rapper, the raper. So I mean, whatever.
Was Gorsuch the last one, or there was two?
Not Gorsuch.
Gorbachev,
Brett Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Gorsuch is just a conservative justice.
So what you're saying that she is every bit of the conservative wacko that they all say she is?
Yeah, she's
and as
she's
a result, she's going to take her personal.
She's the ringer. Yeah, she's the ringer that they wanted. Here's the thing. So now you have all but one of the conservative justices on the bench have been appointed by presidents that lost the popular vote. So, you know, you're starting to get into issues of court legitimacy. Is the Supreme Court even a legitimate representation of the people? And when you have this kind of a conservative, majority appointed, with three of them coming from Trump, who not only does he not represent the majority of the people in the country.
Well, that line.
Not only did he lose the popular vote, but he's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah,
right.
Only the last part of what you said is true, that he's a lunatic.
He did lose the popular vote.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it. That's not the popular vote doesn't elect.
But
the
here's
president.
The problem. I'm not saying that's illegal. You know, like, oh, hey, he lost the popular vote, so his picks are nullified. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are issues of legitimacy that have to be considered when you're talking about the Supreme Court.
They are considering it. This is what this hearing is about.
No, they're not. This hearing is a sham. It's legal. They're not doing anything illegal or corrupt.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Other than doing it, period.
I'm going to officially mark it 109. We agree for the first time.
We actually had an agreement 35 minutes ago, but I'm going to leave.
Did you write it down? That would be no fun.
I'm going to leave that for our loyal listener here in California, Matt, because he usually tracks the agreements.
Yeah, get out while you can, buddy.
Yeah. All right. So,
well, listen.
So
I mean, that's
so. Having said that, let's go back to the court. Let's talk a little more about the court situation, because I find this a fascinating issue.
I know you're fascinated by it. It's the one thing that really boils your blood, I think. I think for me, what's...
Let's talk about restructuring.
All right, restructure.
Yeah, let's do it. I think there are a number of really great ideas about how this could be done, right? And because I think you and I should probably be able to agree that this process that we've watched with this last confirmation process that will finish up next Thursday or whatever it is broken. It's not a good process. So not saying anything was illegal about it or it was illegitimate.
I hear you. Thank you.
But it's broken. It needs to be fixed. Okay. So I think a much better idea would probably be 15 justices. And you have a permanent 5 from the Republican side and 5 from the Democratic side. And then those 5, every 2 years or so, one of them comes up for, and there's some kind of time limit involved. There's already a bunch of plans for this, right? And then those 5, they elect another 5 that has nothing to do with the president or the Congress or anything. And then there's 15. The 5 that are appointed by the Republicans, the 5
I've lost
that are
count.
Appointed
I think you're up to like
Democrats.
25 now.
No, it's 15. It's 15. 5, 5, and those 5 elect another 5. I think that's a brilliant plan. And here's what we need to do. Whatever the plan is, the way the Supreme Court is structured needs to be done on a strictly nonpartisan basis. And that is impossible with this current process. All right. So every time an appointment comes up, it's just this whole frantic freak out happens. And you can see how uptight I was about it. Just go back and listen to previous episodes if you don't know what I'm talking about. So I think that we should be looking now, you know, you want to call it packing the court or whatever hot button words you want to do it. I don't think it should happen in the first day that Biden's president or the first 100 days. I think this is something we need to look at seriously. And the other thing that we need to look at that I know you and I agree on is time limits for SCOTUS.
Yeah, right? And I think that's the one thing I was trying to kind of carve out of your example there is I guess the only other argument I've heard about why a justice would ever serve a life term is that they would then be theoretically anyway insulated from political pressures or influences from the outside. I think that's the only, maybe that's the origin of it. And of course,
well, the origin and that is one of the defenses for maintaining the lifetime appointment. But the origin of it is from the Constitution. It is guaranteed tenure. So once you're appointed, the Constitution says that once you're appointed to the Supreme Court, you have guaranteed tenure.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you say, let's say that the Democrats take over both houses of Congress and the presidency, and they get together and say, that's it, 15-year terms max for SCOTUS. They can't do it. You can pass that law, but you can't. It's in the fucking Constitution. So possibly
you
a workaround.
Make an amendment.
Well, but you're never going to get an amendment through. I mean, you know, that is purposely set up that way. We don't want, I mean, I'm already, what are we at 28 or something? It's already more than
you read count. It recently on the toilet. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, do we have more amendments or propositions?
More amendments.
Okay, good.
Well, I don't know. The numbers are up there, but I don't know how they number them. So, yeah, I mean, I think, but the workaround on that is to, when they term out of the Supreme Court, they have to then be appointed to a federal bench. And that would satisfy probably the guaranteed tenure provision in the Constitution. So there are some things to do about that. So restructuring the Supreme Court is something, you know, not only the number of justices, there's nothing sacrosanct about 9. That's not like we talked about. I mean,
I agree. I mean, it's an odd number, which I see why it makes sense, but I agree.
11, 15, 9. Mm-hmm. They're all odd numbers. I mean, I think that's important. I mean, you can't have a deadlock on the Supreme Court. That's not a good idea. So even numbered is probably not a good idea. 20 is not.
Wouldn't
the right
that make
number.
Sense why we should push through this one now so we get back to 9?
No, but
I was trying to get you to walk into that one. You want to hear more from her? I think they asked her
one more
something about, you know, Trump leaving office. That's the other hot button. Is he going to leave office or do they have to send in What do you want to see? The Marines, Green Berets? Do you care?
I personally think, after all the shit that Obama has had to listen to from him, he should be given a pistol, and he should be the one that is allowed to put it at the back of fucktard's head and walk him out.
Mike is joking, folks.
If a president refused to follow what they had said, would that be a threat to our constitutional form of government?
Well, as I said, the Supreme Court can't control whether or not the president obeys. Abraham Lincoln once disobeyed an order during the Civil War of a circuit court. So a court can pronounce the law and issue a judgment, but it lacks control over how the political branches respond to it.
So, you know,
double talking bullshit is that?
Well, it's truth, and I think it's important that people understand.
It's true.
It is true.
Go ahead.
How is it not true?
No, I didn't say it was true or not true. I'm just laughing at the way you characterized her statement as truth. That's truth.
It is.
Go ahead.
Because
is it the answer to the motherfucking question? That's really what I'm getting.
It is the answer. Here's what they want her to say. And that's why this whole thing is just such political posturing, because they want her to say that ultimately, okay, is she going to find herself on the side of having to make a judgment on whether or not, you know, Trump should be removed from office, which was your point, right? You brought it up. He's putting her there just so she can defend him. And what she's saying is, hey, we can, you know, make a ruling, but we can't enforce it. So in other words, even if the court rules, he lost, he needs to leave. That's it. You fuckers need to get him out of office. We're not doing that.
I'm not concerned with the possibility, slim as it might be, that she sides with the truth and makes a ruling that would result in them saying, hey, you need to step down. I'm concerned with him not making that ruling and her being unjustly influenced by it because she owes him because he's the one that appointed her. That's my concern.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Hillary was in office, we wouldn't be looking at a Judge Barrett confirmation, presumably. I don't know. But if it was somebody else, if Trump died and it was Pence, or if it was, I don't know, any other Republican in there, would she potentially be in the running? Maybe. I guess what I'm saying is, Do we really think that, you know, she owes Trump, you know, would she not have gotten this opportunity otherwise under another candidate? And I don't know that she would have wouldn't have.
She like who? You mean like who? Who do you think, not, who else do you think would nominate her? Not a coup?
Not haiku.
Is there anybody else that comes to your mind that might possibly have nominated her sometime?
No, that's what I'm saying. I can't think of anybody. So I don't know that it would or not. That it wouldn't be. But are we willing?
Maybe President Pence.
Well, maybe. But are we going to discredit her, you know, legal profession and say that she's just a patsy? She's a pawn here because of political climate?
We'll see. If she recuses herself, she'll have my full support. But if she doesn't, then I don't give a shit.
How long is that invitation good for, by the way?
What invitation?
You want her to make a stand now and recuse herself from weighing in on any potential case that would involve the legitimacy of a Trump victory? Is that your position?
Mm-hmm. In the 2020 election. I don't care. Let's say Trump wins, right? Let's say he wins. And legitimately, if that's possible. And then
I guess probably,
and then
got some Benjamins riding on that.
Yeah, and then the policies concerning putting immigrant children in cages comes before the Supreme Court and the legitimacy of that. And she doesn't recuse. I'm not expecting her to recuse.
How did we go from Trump victory to immigrant children in cages?
Well, because what I'm saying is, when I talk about her having the integrity to recuse herself, such as Jeff Sessions did, right?
Your other hero.
Not my hero. I hate that guy.
I know, right? You hate everybody.
He's as big a fuck as Strom Thurmond or any of the other down south homies, right? That would still have Jim Crow. I mean, you know, Session had his way. He would vote back in the Jim Crow laws and we could just start over.
We don't know that.
Well, take your best guess.
Hey, I'm trying to keep you out of jail, buddy.
you have been doing a good job. So anyway, the point on the children in cages thing is I don't expect her to recuse herself. If Trump wins, if he's legitimately reelected by this electorate, if they make that fucking mistake and then policy, because this immigration shit's coming up for review with the Supreme Court. So there are all kinds of cases coming for him that they've already agreed to hear. She's going to be setting in. She's going to be a justice by the time they hear the case about these Trump immigration policies. So, you know, what do you think the chance that I don't think she's going to be impartial. That's the goddamn word I was looking for. I don't think she's going to be impartial when it comes to hearing the immigration cases. But I think to your point, I'm not expecting her to recuse herself for a lifetime for everything. But I think it's a little obvious that if within a month of her being nominated for SCOTUS and then being rushed through on an illegitimate confirmation process.
That was in air quotes.
I can't even say it without laughing that we expect her to be impartial hearing a case regarding, you know, whatever stupid, fucked up, wrong, illegitimate.
How do you get past the stalemate of
the election?
How do you get past the stalemate of eight justices?
The stalemate of it. It's all, there's not a stalemate. There's still.
You said a minute ago that you can't have an even number.
Conservative, but there's still a conservative majority on out of the eight.
What does that even mean? That's also an assumption. These are justices that were appointed by conservatives. Is that what you mean?
No, we know all of their political,
Well, lies the problem. I mean, what's the point of even having this discussion? Because if we assume that every justice that's appointed by either side is always going to vote with those views, then the whole thing is a sham.
Well, you know, there is a slim chance that Justice Roberts has enough integrity to make the right vote once in a while. So when you have this current existing, although imbalanced to the right, you know, majority, you have a better chance of decent decisions coming down. Once you have Amy Coney Barrett, is that her name?
Something
Amy?
Like close
once
enough.
You get Justice, once you get Justice Amy in there, then that, there's not a shred of possibility that you get some kind of impartial decision.
Well, listen, that's certainly the concern, but we don't know that. I mean, that remains to be seen.
I'll give you that. We don't know it. I mean, I'm not claiming to predict the future. So,
I don't know. The whole thing is certainly, you want to scratch your head and try to figure out a better way. You know.
For me, I would have appreciated a little bit of time to mourn the loss of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, possibly the most important justice on the Supreme Court since Antonin Scalia, and you know. That didn't happen, and no shred of decency or respect for prior commitments or, no fear of hypocrisy or anything else could stop this. Nothing could stop Lindsey Graham from reversing what he said just a short 4 years ago and completely, you know, and it was the hypocrisy of it that was making me crazy.
I know.
We talked about it. So,
but what can I ask you a question though? Where do you draw the line if we were supposed to mourn and give a period of grievance with Ruth? Where do you draw the line? Do we do that with every justice? And there's some period of time where you can't do any work?
You know, I think that when you're talking about the death of a Supreme Court justice, literally less than 2 months before the actual election day, after votes have already been cast. And when you go back 4 years and the main reason that the Republican Senate, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell gave for not giving Merrick Garland a hearing, even.
Well,
let alone
I agree with you.
Him,
we've,
right?
Listen, as it, they
their,
say.
Their main reason. Yeah. You wouldn't even their main reason was that the people should have a say. So, I mean, yes. And they got
people to go along with that bullshit lie.
Yeah, and look, I understand. That was a lie. That was a lie by Lindsey Graham. That was a lie by Mitch McConnell.
As they say, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, Well, since both those cocksucking motherfuckers are up for reelection, I think just let it play out. I think it's going to be hysterical if Lindsey Graham loses to, I can't think of the guy's name. And I'm pretty sure Mitch McConnell won't, but he's getting a hard run for his money. So the only thing that Mitch McConnell cares about, let's just get this on the table. He doesn't give a shit about anything or anybody in this country, Republican or Democrat, white or black. All he wants to do is stack the court with conservative justices, not only the Supreme Court, but the federal courts. And he has done that. We lost this. This is a long... So this is... Republicans have been playing the long game for on the courts for quite a while, like 10 years. And it's not just what happens with the Supreme Court or even the federal. It's what's been going on at the state levels. And this is a long game. They're like the China of this, right? They're playing the long game. They can see, you know, this is amazing. We got to give them credit. We have to give the Republican Party credit that as they were fundamentally fragmenting and disintegrating before our very eyes, right when their longest long strategy is completely paying off. And for all those people that are listening to this that identify, you know, with the Democrats or the non-right, we lost. So you better suck it up and get over it. I mean, you heard me cry. You heard me whine. I did want some cheese with that wine.
Are you going to get over it then?
Well, I'm going to get over it, but I'm never going to change all my opinions about it are the same. I'm not pissed off about it anymore because it's not my first disappointment. I mean, can you see the video? I mean, Jesus. You got to get over shit.
It's good to see you breathing again.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that now we look to other things, right? I mean, Planned Parenthood is figuring out what they're going to do if and when Roe versus Wade gets overturned. Will it be? I don't know. I tend to agree with you that that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. But here's the point. Here's the thing. In many, many states, something like 30 of them, there's only one provider in the whole motherfucking state. So what's the difference if it gets overturned or not? It's virtually, there's no access in more than half the country. So whether Roe versus Wade stands or doesn't, and hey, here's a newsflash. I'm not getting an abortion anytime soon. So do I really give a shit? But I mean, morally and reproductive rights and the idea that old white men in state legislatures are going to have the fate of women's reproductive rights.
Is that really what Planned Parenthood is about, though?
That's not right.
Isn't Planned Parenthood the argument that do you have the right to have? Isn't it a taxpayer funded program or part of it?
I don't think so.
It's not.
I don't know, and I don't know what difference it makes, whether it's taxpayer-funded or not.
Well, I think, I don't know.
They're a healthcare provider. They're a healthcare provider, and, you know, I think that they've owned up to their origins, right? The person that started Planned Parenthood was a big eugenics, you know, person, right? So that's all bad, but, you know, any organization that's over 100 years old is going to be based in some kind of, you know, white supremacy.
Are you saying we need to break it up like big tech? You hit your 100-year mark.
Yeah. I think that we just have to move on. I mean, I think that Planned Parenthood's going to move on. It's not the end of the world. I mean, if they overturn Roe versus Wade, something else is going to happen.
Why do we need Planned Parenthood, though? We'll give everybody free health care. Can't you get an abortion at your regular doctor?
I think some of the big discussions about this, some of the red herring issues about this are whether or not any kind of Medicare or what health plans or what government provided health care is going to pay for an abortion. So that's just, you know, that is just a red herring of an argument. And frankly, I don't even understand why the people that are so against it are against it. I mean, when you want to talk about hypocrisy, and I'm just going to say this for everybody that's listening, so this should cut down our listenership quite a bit. It's bullshit. Okay. You know,
what's bullshit?
You know, we talked about single issue voters, right? And the reasons that people that pro-life people give for those opinions are based in some kind of horseshit religious stuff. And I just don't accept any of it. And, you know, anybody that wants to talk about it, give me a call. I'll be glad to talk about it with you.
Yeah, well, when we post this episode, we'll make sure we put your phone number up there.
Call me on the show.
Yeah, hey, I mean, I think when you're talking about who pays for shit, that's a whole other story. Maybe we can get into that in a future episode. But when you talk about rights of people, I protect and believe that we should protect people's rights to have an abortion, among other things.
It needs to be a federal law.
Yeah, okay, federal
that
law.
That needs to be, taken out of the state's hands.
I mean, I think that we need to guarantee people that the taxpayers are going to pay for it? No.
That's a different issue.
Right, I agree. Mean, that's what I thought you were going.
That's a different issue. No, I'm not. I mean, I think that, you know, whatever health coverage you have, nothing should be excluded based on something like that. So, yeah, I don't agree with that. So I'm sure we don't agree about that. So whatever, if it's Medicare or whatever it is, it should pay for it.
And I think the whole insurance conversation, even when you talk about the Affordable Care Act, which is another big issue that is going to come before the Supreme Court, is that really never has addressed health care. And we've talked about this too. All it ever did was talk about how to take the current broken health insurance platforms and give it to more people. And I think that's the problem. I mean, we've seen it. Costs go up every year, and most plans have a form of out-of-pocket deductible that you have to meet. And it's just crazy how expensive
shit
is. You
know how you're not going to fix the healthcare issue? By saying you have a plan that's going to replace the ACA, yet never tell anybody what it is. That's a fucking lie, too.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
That is a lie. So Trump doesn't have a plan. He's never had a plan. The Republicans have never had a plan. So, you know, as soon as any Republican comes up with a healthcare alternative to the ACA that makes sense, then bring it and I'll be all over it. I guarantee you that I will support it if it makes sense. But if it's nonsense or non-existent or just a sham, which is all I've seen so far. And when I say that, I'm specifically talking about Trump's bullshit and all of his supporters in the Senate saying, we're going to abolish the ACA and then we're going to have a better healthcare plan. That's not true.
Well, I like the sentiment. I think that's a good place to start. But you're right. There's nothing substantive there to even, you know, chew on. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, how are you going to throw 20 million? Whatever. I don't want to talk about the ACA. I mean, that's we got to start with that as the first topic. What else you got?
Have you had enough for today?
No, I'm good. I can go two more hours. I'm in the best mood. I think.
Where's your macchiato today?
It's this. You can't see this either. Let's see.
It looks like tequila.
Yeah. No, you can't see it. It's ice. It's the beverage of the immigration crime unit. ICE.
Well, listen, I think we've had enough for today. There's a lot going on this week. I mean, I do think there is going to be another debate, if I understood that correctly. There's a lot to digest. We are officially in, if it wasn't ugly already, it is going to get uglier. What do we have, 2 weeks left? Is that it?
I heard this today. I think, yes, it is right. And I think that really, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Martian invasion or something.
You know what? I was telling somebody that today. I said, we joke, we talk a lot and we joke about Republica and Democratica. And you know, that maybe is a joke, but there's some truth there that, that our future as a union is not guaranteed. Right. And that's a fact. And what, people put up with and what may come of this country and this planet remains to be seen. There's a lot of ugliness and hate out there. At this point, I think I would rather take an alien invasion.
Whatever the October surprise is.
I think so.
You know, when you take a cornered rabbit dog like Donald J. Trump and you corner him like he's cornered now, anything's possible. So
I mean, here's, you know, listen,
I'm not predicting what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good. That's what I'm going to tell you.
You know, I think there's nothing surprises me with him. And I think that he, you know, I don't know that he necessarily, I don't think he wanted to win 4 years ago. I certainly don't think
he wants,
yeah, he doesn't want to lose now, but it'll be interesting. There's a, we're definitely in a crazy couple of weeks.
Well, hey, listen, if we're, if this time next week we're at war with Haiti or something, we've attacked Cuba or we've invaded Hawaii or something. I don't know. Anything's possible. Hey,
you're
right?
gonna have to invade Hawaii. That's the only way you're gonna be able to get there. Right, Matt?
Yeah, we keep the faith, Matt. I'm still planning on going. That's an inside joke there. All right.
Hey, all right, dude.
Bring it.
Well,
that was good.
Until the next one, my friend.
Hey, goodbye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Have fun. Bye.